America Tonight. Are you celebrating in style? Did you get that extra day off? Maybe you're working because you get paid double time, overtime, I don't know. Or maybe you're just taking a little bit of time off where you tacked on a long vacation. You're going down to the Funny Mouse Ears place to see if you can ride on a few of the rides. Boy, I would have to think that one of the crowdedest places on the face of the earth has to be Disneyland on this kind of a holiday. We have an extra weekend. I don't even know. I'm not even sure when the off time is for Disney. It may be in the middle of the school year, in the middle of the week, because you still have groups that come. Christmas is big there. Holidays are just huge there because of extra days people can string together. So whatever you're doing, regardless, if you're just hanging out and having a staycation, doesn't matter. It's the fact that you're thinking about Memorial Day, having some time to spend with family or friends, your posse across the street, whoever. Coming up this hour, in case you missed it this week, I'll tell you what, we had a great young singer on the show who is just tearing it up. And when I say she's just tearing it up, I mean she's tearing it up the old-fashioned way, because it's very hard, of course it's very hard to make it in the music business. And the thing about it is, if you are a good songwriter, if you think that you have the ability to break into a bigger market, meaning you just climb up the charts and start to be played everywhere, think again. That's why these shows like American Idol, I guess, and The Voice, I think that's why those shows are so big, because people want to see that. They want to see people... succeed. They want to see people get a big bite out of the American dream, and they get to see it on the tube right in front of them. So Shelley Lane is going to be on the show, and this is a woman who's a singer-songwriter. She had a song that has climbed up the country music charts. She's been one of the highest-ranked independent artists in country music. She's been nominated by PDs of Music Weekly for Best Female Artist in the past, along with Faith Hill and Martina McBride and others. So she had a single, No Time Like Now, originally debuting on Billboard in fall of 2003, and she's just continued to go at it. She just went through a 372 radio station tour, 60,000 miles while performing on weekends. 60,000 miles. That's incredible. This woman has chops. She's got a family goal. She has a couple of kids, and the family goal is climbing the highest. They want to climb the highest mountains in all 50 states. Do you know how many she's up to? 36. 36. And she was even a qualifier for the national trials in women's Olympic soccer when she was a teenager. So she obviously had this from the time that she was a kid. The fact that she's relentless, I think, gives her a chance at possibly making it. So you'll hear what she has to say about trying to break in, and I try to break in a bigger way, in a different way, by going to the radio stations. Then we're going to talk to David Nance. David Nance joined us after the Boston Marathon because it was a good reminder to people about being more aware. Now more than ever, you have to take charge of your situation, your family, what you decide you're going to do. And that's the bottom line. You can't wait. I think you just cannot wait for help. Someone's going to come here and tell me what I need to do. Now, people there, it was horrific. It was shocking. There was blood in the streets. People got out of the way and did do that. I think there is a new philosophy. And we also saw that, I think, in Watertown, Massachusetts, where people were ordered to stay indoors and were aware of what was happening, and ultimately that's what led to the arrest of one of the Sarnaev brothers. If you remember, the man who was out in the backyard and saw blood and is coming out of his boat, little drips of it, went over, saw him there, and then boom, that whole thing ended. So being aware of your situation, taking stock in where exits are, looking for things that seem out of place. We hear that over and over again when we go to airports, but David Nance, I think, is the best. He travels all over the world and advises people and countries on at different seminars on things that they can do to be a little bit safer, to take charge, in other words. And then one of my favorite people to stop by the show whenever it's horse racing season for the big three, and there is going to be no Triple Crown this time around, we love to have TK Lawless on from Relentless Racing, because he, I don't think there's anybody, there are some great announcers, but I would say pound for pound, there aren't very many people that know the game of racing the way that he does. And he didn't pick the winner. He didn't pick the winner at the Derby. We talked about Orb, and he talked about how, you know, horses get built up. And now here we are. The Preakness was spoiled. Orb didn't win the Preakness. And we have the final leg that happens next week. The Belmont Stakes are on June 8th. And it's fun to go even if there is no Triple Crown. But it would have been very, very cool to see the possibility of a Triple Crown, but not happening this time around. So he talks about the horses and some of them, which will also come back up again when we turn our attentions to New York. Now, that's one of those records. I talk about it in my book, Level the Playing Field, Balls, Brats, and Other BS. I talk about horse racing since I kind of had a horse racing family. I have a couple of cousins that are trainers and an uncle who's a jockey. It's such a hard feat. The last time we had a Triple Crown winner, somebody who won, a horse that won the Kentucky Derby, won the Preakness, and won the Belmont, you have to go back to 1978 and a great horse called Affirmed. And who would have ever thunk, 78 to now, there's no Triple Crown winner. It just shows you it's one of those sports records that's probably stands the test of time and is may not be broken, and might not be broken in my lifetime, might not be broken in your lifetime, because we always get that hope. We always think it's going to happen, and then it doesn't happen. All right, I often talk about what things are worth. We used to have Harry Rinker come on from What You Got, and people would call in and say, well, I have this Civil War sword, or I have a teacup collection from the 1800s, and he would give people an idea of what their treasures were worth. And I just happened to read this, the first edition of Gatsby, the Great Gatsby, which now the remake, another version of it anyway, is in the movie theaters with Leonardo DiCaprio. But the book by F. Scott Fitzgerald, there is a book that's floating around, the first edition, and they think it's going to get $150,000. So this Gatsby craze is on. Stephen Schohat told us that he believes it would be a big movie, and so anything connected to F. Scott Fitzgerald is suddenly worth a lot. The pre-sale estimate up to $150,000. A North Carolina collector is offering it at Sotheby's on June 11th. And you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to come back and look at this, but I'm going to say, I bet you they get more than $150,000. All right, so buckle in. Hang on and get ready for a wild ride next on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Imagine waking one morning only to find your family shivering in the dark because you couldn't afford to pay your electric bill. That's closer than you think. You probably haven't heard about this yet because the liberal media has been suppressing what is fast becoming the most shocking news story of 2012. Obama's secret war on coal that could increase your already high power bill as much as 400% in coming months. As shocking as it sounds, it may well be just a matter of time before the lights start going out across America. But here's some good news. There's an underground video at exposed123.com that thousands of smart patriots have used to end their slavery to the corrupt electricity monopoly. The video at exposed123.com has already been banned by Google, and the liberal media is doing everything in its power to take it down and keep America in the dark. So watch it now at exposed123.com before it's too late. Again, that's exposed123.com.
Even once already this week, I like to put spotlights on entertainers or musicians, people who are doing something really unique, too, in the field. And we've got somebody who fits that to a T. Shelley Lane, who is a singer-songwriter, wrote the song Born Again American, is in our virtual green room. She actually co-wrote that song with Jim Keys. You might not know the name, but he's a former CEO of Blockbuster and 7-Eleven. What an interesting combo that is. So how do you get your music out there? Shelley's going to tell us what she's doing. She's doing it sort of the hard way, but also the interesting way to do it, one radio station at a time. Shelley, thanks for joining us here on America Tonight.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So talk about the song. What led you to co-writing this song and meeting Jim Keys and all that stuff?
Well, you know, lately it seems over the last year and a half, maybe even a little bit longer, I've observed just in friends, family, and acquaintances, people I've come across on the road and on the path, there seems to be a state of depression, or maybe that may be too extreme, but just kind of down in the mouth, and maybe people have lost their way, fallen off track with their lives, whether it be in a financial way or a personal way, just they're down. And so I felt like it was time that we re-inspire and reignite the American dream in that of the listener. And so the concept Born Again American comes from one, basically, like I said, American dream, of living that American dream, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, as we say here in Texas, and recovering and finding a way to use your skill set and your talent to get back on top and to rise above. And so that's what the root of the song is about, being independent and finding a way. And it's kind of become more of a movement for me now, more than just a song. I met Jim Keys, by the way, up in New York. I was singing for Buzz Aldrin, the astronaut. Mm-hmm. And I was introduced to Jim Keys. He was there as a participant in the audience, and I told him about the concept, and he said, I love that. I want to be a part of that. I want to help you write it. And so it was a complete honor to have his DNA on this song.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, so you dropped the name Buzz Aldrin. What a cool guy he is. I had a little brush with fame with Buzz, too. He has such a personality. How did that work out? Is that, do you, were you doing the party? Did somebody ask you to sing for him? How did that happen?
Well, he's a personal friend of my family's, my husband, and Buzz was being conducted into, had a room dedicated to him out at the Thayer Hotel because he's a West Point graduate. And so he was having a dedication done to him where close friends and family were there, and I sang the national anthem for those folks in God Bless America. And so, like I said, it was just an honor, and one of the high points in my career to be able to sing for him and for that group of people. So that's how I met Jim Keys, really, was at that event.
The one thing that I left out I haven't talked about even yet is the fact that this song keeps going up the charts. It's moving up. I guess it debuted. It went from 168 a year ago to it's up to 85 now, or a little bit higher. And that's a big deal because even if it's a steady climb, it doesn't matter. People start to recognize a song and start to look at somebody's music when you start to move up that chart. How did you drive the music in that direction?
Well, to be honest, doing it the hard way, like you mentioned earlier, going from station to station and telling the story and meeting listeners and people along the way, they relate to the story. I can tell you, I stopped into a little place to take a break with my guitarist in Missouri, and we came across these folks that were sitting there, and they said, "Well, if you're not from around here, obviously we didn't look like we belonged with their group, and they didn't know us." And they said, "Where are you from?" We told them the story, and this lady literally started crying on my guitarist's shoulder and telling her story, how she had fallen out of the workforce, and she just didn't know what she was going to do with her life. And so I think it's that genuine story that everybody can relate to in some form or fashion, and I think that's what really and truly has helped the song spread and become a song that people want to hear and know more about. Because they can relate to it on a personal level. And going to station, each station just by station, state to state, and telling that story, I think the listeners are now beginning to understand and want to hear more.
Yeah, and going station to station means like a couple of weeks ago you were in Nashville, Tennessee. Am I right? What was that like?
Yes.
Nashville's fun.
Oh, Nashville's a blast, and I was actually there for the country radio seminar, which is a blast because all the program directors and people like yourself, radio personalities, are there hearing about the latest technology and things that are in their workplace that are interesting. And so the artists go out there, and that's an opportunity for them to have interviews and talk to the PDs about their story and their song. So I was out there and working with Mr. Byron Hill, who is also a co-author on the song. I don't want to forget to mention him because his DNA is also on the song, and he is truly an example of living your American dream. He's doing what he loves to do, which is write music and sing music, and he's had all kinds of hits. You'll know him best by Fool-Hearted Memory, which just celebrated its 30th anniversary this past year. For George Strait. So there's so many, and if you look up ByronHillMusic.com, you'll see his story as well and how he's truly an example of that, living that American dream.
Yeah. How many different cities, towns, states have you been to so far?
Oh, goodness. You know, I'm going to write a book at the end of this. I will tell you that will document all of that. I can say I've gone over 10,000 miles in the last 6 weeks. So that's an incredible amount of mileage to cover in a car. And we've seen all kinds of weather. And fortunately, we were south of the weather when it happened in Oklahoma, thank goodness. My thoughts and prayers go out to those folks out there who are recovering from that. But we have just been all over the place from the west to the east and everywhere in between. And I can tell you that I really do enjoy it. A lot of people are like, "That's got to drive you nuts." But no, I love it. I love seeing all the different parts of America because it's so pretty. And the people are great. Everybody has their own little culture and personality within their communities. So it's been a pleasure.
Does your husband go with you sometimes? A family come along once in a while? Or how are you doing this?
No, they stay behind, and I have a 7-year-old son, and so he's in school, and I have a very supportive husband who is also an entrepreneur and a hard worker, and he stays here and provides that support for Lance, my son, and keeps kind of holds down the fort. And but thank goodness we have this technology now because we can Skype and we can do. My son loves FaceTime, you know, on the iPhone. He thinks that's his opportunity to make faces at me, which is a lot of fun. But, you know, in the old, back in the day, you couldn't do that. And so it was harder to go on the road for such a long period of time. But now with technology, I feel like I can be right there with them, you know, during story time or to hear the highs and lows of their day. So that's not been as much of a challenge as it would have been in the past, right? Say maybe 10 years ago when I was on the road. And in 2002, I was on the road, and we didn't have that opportunity to do that. Technology wasn't there yet.
The places that you've gone, as you mentioned, you definitely should write a book, by the way, because that would be interesting, the journey, the kind of people you met. When you get to a town and then you try to get to a radio station, it sounds like they've been pretty welcoming, like whether it's Nashville or Pittsburgh or wherever. Have you found that to be true as far as getting in somewhere and letting them, you know, hear your song, play your song, talk to you, that kind of thing?
I would say 90%, 95% of the time, people are very, very receptive because I am doing it the hard way. I don't have a a record label. I don't have a huge pocketbook of funding behind me to do this. I'm doing it all on my own. And I think they like that because they view that as I'm taking on a challenge. And so everybody likes that story, the angle. I think everybody's been very warm and receptive. Yes, the answer is absolutely yes. And I wouldn't do it any differently. And by the way, the book, I'm going to write a book also about the stories that people are sharing with me, because that's actually more interesting than the radio station visits for me, because there's that personal touch. And so I've started a Twitter account. I'm not great at it yet, but I'm getting there. And the handle is at Shelly Sings, and Shelly is with an EY. If they want to share their born-again American story with me about how they've risen above, gotten back on top, maybe they had a bad experience and they're back on track, or they're living the American dream, then share it with me and let me know who you are, because I will include you in the book.
I was going to say, who knows, they could end up in maybe one of your lyrics in the future, too.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Yeah, absolutely. I know some songs are going to come out of this. Absolutely.
All right, Shelly Lane, like her on Facebook. As she said, it's Shelley, and Lane has an E on it. We wish you the best. Can't wait to see where this all leads to. I think good things in the future. So we'll keep an eye on you, Shelly. Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
This message dares all fish oil consumers. Yes, many people now take fish oil supplements, but the makers of K48 Plus want you to know it's not what you consume, but how it is absorbed that counts. So we dare you to compare fish oil with K48 Plus. K48 Plus, an omega-3 powerhouse, is made with the highest grade and most potent dose of krill oil available, and is 48 times more easily absorbed than common fish oil. K48 Plus is both a remarkable anti-inflammatory as well as a powerful antioxidant. If you suffer from ailments such as diabetes, COPD, autism, arthritis, depression, migraines, lupus, Alzheimer's, glaucoma, joint pain, high cholesterol, memory loss, or Crohn's disease, you need to see the K48 Plus video at livepremium.net. That's L-I-V-E premium.net. Or please call 208-521-3601. That's 208-521-3601 and ask about K48 Plus. Restore hope. Optimize health with K48 Plus.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com. enhancing health and privacy.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
To America Tonight. We've had him on before. He's just terrific. He's a nationally acclaimed safety expert, David Nance, and he is coming back from a trip to Brazil and Buenos Aires, Argentina, where he was speaking at a police conference, and he does that. He's, as I said, a safety expert, and he works with police departments here at home, but also around the world. And David, so sorry that you are living in Illinois, so you arrived to some nasty weather. The flooding is just awful there, isn't it?
It is. We took in quite a bit of rain over the last 2 days. A couple of expressways were closed. The rivers are elevated. So, yeah, it's not the greatest weather in the country right now. A very turbulent flight on the way home from Miami today.
Yeah. We're going to ask you, of course, about Boston and being safe and crowds and all that stuff. But tell us about the police conference. That's interesting. What were you telling them in Brazil? Because, of course, the Olympics is coming up in Brazil, and there's big concerns there about safety.
Well, even quicker than that, you've got the World Cup next summer.
Yeah.
And it was in Rio de Janeiro. And I tell you, they've got some infrastructure issues. The hotel I stayed at, where most of the participants stayed at, was Copacabana Beach and, Ipanema, which is, the coastal front line there in Rio. And just less than 20 miles away, you have the expo center, and there was a 2.5 hour commute each way, each day. So 5 hours of commuting. So they really need to build their infrastructure for these games that they have coming up. And, you know, it's a very, very poor outside of those touristy areas. The city's very, very poor. So a lot of slums, a lot of crime, very dangerous city. So it's more so than most cities in the U.S. for that matter.
Yeah, so you were advising them about things to look for and whatnot, what they should do, be on the high alert for, that kind of stuff?
Training issues, talking about non-lethal technologies that are out there for law enforcement. In North America, we really are the leaders in terms of what's available to law enforcement, embracing the latest technologies. providing officers with proper training so they can take advantage of the safety advantages of the new technologies. So Latin America, Europe, Asia, the entire world kind of looks to see what we're doing, and that's what I was down there talking about, you know, the successes we've had here in North America.
Yeah, interesting. The sadly, when you were away, as you know, what happened in Boston with the marathon on Monday, it's just a reminder of how dangerous some of these public places can be at just the drop of a hat. And you're not expecting, I mean, I hate to say it, as somebody who's covered huge sporting events, how many Super Bowls did I go to? You're always thinking Super Bowl, or you're thinking maybe even World Cup. You're thinking U.S. Open, but you're just not thinking Boston Marathon, and perhaps that's why this was chosen. But how many people listening to America Tonight have no idea what to look for when they're in a crowd? What would you tell people going to events like this is what they should do?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things. You know, if we can do whatever we can to prevent these things from occurring, and then, you know, protecting yourself and your family and those around you, your loved ones, when something like this does happen. So, you know, the thing I teach in all my classes and law enforcement embraces as well is just a relaxed alertness. You have to have a 360-degree awareness about you and look for things that are just out of the ordinary. Listen to that inner voice when something doesn't seem right. It's probably because it isn't right. And it's your subconscious talking to you, telling you to take action. You know, I don't know. Did you see the images of the two suspects today?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they. So these guys, you know, they appear to be smart. They dress rather nondescript in normal clothing. The only thing maybe a little out of the ordinary is that they have these big bulky backpacks. But if you think about all the universities in the Boston area, it's probably not too strange to see young people walking around with big backpacks. And, you know, they walk behind all the participants. So the participants are focused on the marathon runners, and these two individuals are walking behind them. So they did a fairly good job of blending and keeping a low profile. The best thing you can do in a situation, though, is, you know, embrace that relaxed alertness. Realize that, hey, we do live in the United States. We do have enemies. We do have people that are envious of our lifestyle and our way of life. And, you know, maybe it doesn't happen every day. Maybe it doesn't happen every year. But I think most people have relaxed a little bit too much since 9/11. And this is a good reminder that, you need to keep that relaxed alertness and look for things that are out of the ordinary or peculiar. My guesstimate is somebody probably saw one of those two individuals put the book bag down and walk away from it. And, you know, that's a situation where you need to speak up. When you see that, you know, social norms generally tell you, hey, maybe that doesn't feel right, maybe that doesn't look right, but I don't want to speak up because what if I'm wrong? What if it's nothing? I don't want to be embarrassed or have people make fun of me. So oftentimes people don't say anything, but if you see something, say something. Definitely have to step up and look out for look out for the best interest of everyone involved.
What if you're there and it happens so quickly, but all of a sudden something violent happens, whether it's a shooting, a bomb, or whatever. In this case, it was that bomb we're now finding out is a pressure cooker bomb. That happens. What do you do?
You should always have a plan in advance. Anytime you go to an athletic event, a concert, a place where a lot of people are meeting and gathering, even a restaurant for that matter, where, you know, you're highly vulnerable with limited number of exits and a shooter could come in. So, you know, that seems to kind of be the theme over the past few years is these public shootings. You should have a plan when violence breaks out. Before that happens, you should scope out the place and know where the exits are at. Because generally speaking, if you look at, you know, what happened in Rhode Island with that nightclub fire and the one that happened in South America a few months ago where, you know, a lot of people are trampled due to panic, most people are going to go to the exit where they entered because they haven't paid attention to the surroundings of the facility or the venue that they're at. So that's the only one that they remember, so that's where they're all going to go to. And oftentimes people trample one another. It doesn't take much to take a crowd and cause panic. You know, it takes one or two screams and a couple pushes, and, you know, and everything changes. So you should know where those other exits are at, your other ways out of there. Even in the stands, if you were a person watching the Boston Marathon, you know, look for other avenues to escape and, you know, instead of being trampled or causing further injury by going the same way everyone else is.
Yeah, when you have kids, is it, you know, we live in a different world, but is it good to, you don't want to, you know, be, instill fear, I think, in kids, but I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you need to teach them a certain thing to look for, because you're not always going to be there with your kids. You know, there's students that take field trips and they're often in crowds. Would it be a good idea to teach them some of this stuff?
I think it definitely is. I think it's absolutely important to sit down with your kids, with children, and let them know if something seems odd, someone's displaying odd behavior, if something doesn't seem right, to say something to your teacher, say something to whomever's in charge, so they can look into it further. But I don't think you need to go into all the details and you know, the stuff that we have to worry about in our lives. I think, you know, children don't need to worry about, but they definitely should be spoken to and understand that they need to speak up when something isn't right.
Yeah. Do you think that, I mean, I hate to say that, but now we're seeing more and more things like this. And sometimes it's just an initial reaction. It's that thing of the rubbernecking. Sometimes people are drawn to, oh, you're not going to believe what happened. Like, there's a fire. For instance, with that fertilizer fire, you had people that were getting closer to it to take their cell phones out and film the fire. Well, then you had the massive explosion that literally killed somebody who was trying to shoot it with a cell phone, and another one where it could have happened, but they were lucky enough that they were far enough back. I mean, isn't it just a good idea to get away from anything that's on fire or any kind of smoke or stuff that you see like that?
Absolutely, 100%. You know, it's unfortunately we're drawn to things like that, things that are dangerous and out of the ordinary. For whatever reason, we take this interest in it, and that could lead to a very dangerous situation. You know, in my classes, I teach people to know what a gunshot sounds like. Assume it's the worst. A lot of people, when they hear a gunshot, initially they'll think, well, maybe that's a car backfiring. Maybe it's fireworks. There was the Atlanta day trading shooting, where 13 day traders were killed in two various back-to-back shootings with the same shooter. And a lot of the traders that survived thought they were computer monitors exploding, so they froze. They were looking around like, what the heck is that? And they didn't assume the worst. So I always tell people, when you hear a noise, when it could be a bomb, it could be a gunfire, that you should assume that that's what it is and immediately take cover and put as much distance as you can for yourself and your family members between that sound and yourself.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, and I guess this is kind of, you said at the top, you should look around anytime you're in crowds and that kind of thing. But do you think you're particularly vulnerable now, maybe to bigger things where there's more people sort of milling about, not necessarily in a closed area, but, you know, the race was a good example of that. Pretty easy, actually, to get in there. And even though there's police and there's barricades and things like that set up, you're talking about a long race with many areas where you could possibly be along a route. Maybe we need to look at those kind of things a little differently, do you think?
Well, I mean, that was definitely a situation where the audience was a soft target.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not an airport. It's not a federal building. It's not a place typically where something like that would break out. So people, it probably was the last thing on people's minds in that situation. So, and these appears to have been well planned out, well thought out, well executed. So, you know, as I mentioned at the top, they walked behind the pedestrians who were watching and cheering for the racers. So no one paid attention to them. And that's why they were able to, you know, place these bombs and detonate them. And it's a wake up call. I mean, I was watching a number of authorities talk about it tonight, and I've done some reading on it. And people are saying this is something new. You know, it's going to be a learning experience. Once all the facts come out, you know, there'll be a lot of good information and advice to share. We're still kind of somewhat unknown how all this was carried out. But, you know, I believe someone probably saw one of these two individuals leave one of those bags and walk away from it. And when you see something like that, you need to say something. And you should say something to the person leaving the bag behind. You know, say, hey, buddy, did you forget your bag, or where are you going? And if they act peculiar or they start to run, well, that's the time to let everyone know and then just, you know, get the heck out of there.
Yeah, get out of there. Great stuff. Dave Nance, thanks so much. We appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Have a good evening. Thanks for having me.
You too. Bye-bye.
Back and forth through my mind behind a cigarette. There's been a disaster, and most of you don't even realize the serious concern for all of us. Alex Jones has warned you for years to get the most important supply you can for your liberty, freedom, and security, and that's food. We thought the danger was drought, or food diverted to our gas tanks, or food so expensive that we'd all need financial assistance to afford it, or our food being sold to other countries. But here's the most effective way you'll lose your liberty and security without a fight: government regulation. The do-it-yourself public services of many LDS Mormon food storage canneries can no longer be provided. This, along with the recent private gardening and farming regulations and additional government control of food supplies and resources, says food is the ultimate priority. eFoods Direct will provide free shipping on all food orders until further notice. Call 800-409-5633 or on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators, freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21-cubic-foot refrigerator freezer or a 22-cubic-foot deep freezer, in stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ah, that is nice music, isn't it? I can't wait for that tomorrow, the Kentucky Derby. My old pal, this guy is tremendous. You people have no idea how lucky we are to have him on the show. The knowledge that he exposes is unbelievable. TK Lawless, horse racing expert from Relentless Racing Stables, talking Derby with us here on America Tonight. TK, how are you?
Hey, Katie. You know what? That's a pretty hard billing to live up to.
That's right. We are one day, 18 hours away from this thing, and I tell you what, I keep going down the list. I look at the odds. I read what everybody has to say. I like certain names. I mean, you know, the one horse that everybody keeps on talking about is Orb. Orb is 7-2. That's the odds on the board. 16th hole is what Orb will shoot out of, 16th gate anyway. What do you make of Orb? Would you like Orb, or is this a lot of hype?
Well, you know me, I'm always looking for a price, so I'm not necessarily on top of Orb, but I think he's a really nice horse, and you know, he and Verrazano are probably going to, you know, vie for favoritism. Probably by the time they go off, Verrazano might actually be the favorite. You know, the thing about Orb is I have a little problem with the fact that these horses that come out of Gulfstream Park that look like monsters at Gulfstream Park, and they look pretty average in their other races. You know, that historically has not been a good thing for the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, and Verrazano is, you know, he's the other favorite. And he's a horse that hadn't had any adversity in his life at all. He's, you know, he's chased some slow paces, fed on the outside, out in the clear, waiting for the long shots to fade, and just took over. And so, you know, both of those horses that are the favorite, you know, I've got a little knock against both of them. Not that either one of them couldn't be, you know, monsters as we go forward. And they've done, you know, very little wrong in their careers, especially lately. But, you know, this is a 20-horse field in the Kentucky Derby, and I'm always looking for a price, you know, bet a little to win a lot. And
yeah.
I'm not as convinced as a lot of people are on both those horses because, they do have a couple of knocks on them.
So what horse do you really, really like then?
You know, you're going to put me on the spot again, but I do have one that I absolutely love. And so I might as well just, you know, be right up front about it. I like Vijack. He's a horse that's coming out of the third place finish in the Wood Memorial, where he had a little bit of a lung infection when he came out of the race. But he was only a length and a half behind Verrazano that day. And, you know, he was running into a really slow pace that day. Moved up a little early, had to make two or three moves to try to get in contention. And I think with the switch of jockeys to Garrett Gomez, he's gonna be really hard to hold off down the stretch at the Kentucky Derby. It's kind of interesting thing about Vijack is people probably remember Big Brown from a few years ago.
Yes.
And there's a lot of eerie things that are really strange about this race. Big Brown's exercise rider was a guy named Rudy Rodriguez, and he was the assistant trainer and exercise rider for Dick Dutrow, Richard Dutrow, if everybody remembers on Big Brown. And Big Brown had the 20 hole that day in the Kentucky Derby and won. And just so happens, Vijack pulled the 20 hole the other day in the post position draw, and he's trained by Rudy Rodriguez, which is Dutrow's old assistant. And he gallops the horse every day. And it's kind of eerie, the fact that last time when Big Brown won out of the 20 hole, the same post position that Vijack happened to draw, Rudy Rodriguez was the gallop rider that day. And 2 days before the Derby, when Big Brown ran, Rudy blew him out in 37-1 on the Thursday before the Derby. And this morning, it just so happens that Vijack blew out in 37-1 with his trainer now, Rudy Rodriguez, in the saddle in 37-1. Mm. So they drew the same post position. They worked the same time. And another thing that makes it kind of interesting is one of our old friends, Garrett Gomez, picked up the mount on Vijack here lately. And I think the horse fits Garrett's style perfectly. And I think... for people that, you know, are looking for a price, the Vijack's 15-1 on the morning line, and I think he's got a really, really big shot.
Wow. I like that. That's amazing. Everything you just told us, the Rodriguez factor, the blowout time, man, I love it. You're very convincing.
You're really gonna love the backstory about this horse. The owner of the horse, the horse is owned by Pick Six Racing Stables, which is kind of interesting. The guy that owns the horse, he and a couple of buddies of his used to go to the track all the time, and they'd hit a couple of Pick Sixes. But, you know, for small, I say small amounts, 12,000, I think, one time, and I think 37,000 one time, he and a couple of buddies. And so they'd made a little bit of money at the track, and they were handicappers, and they had a lot of fun with it, and then made some money at it. Well, he showed up at the track one day when there was a big carryover out in California, I think it was. And his buddies were supposed to come meet him. And one of them called and said, "Hey, I'm stuck at work. I can't make it. I ain't going to be there." And the other guy never even called. So this guy's sitting at the track by himself, and he's thinking, "Damn, you know, I'd love to bet this Pick Six. There's like $4 or $5 million in the carryover, and it's going to be a lot of money in here today, but it's a $3,600 ticket." and I don't want to do this all by myself. You know, I was all in for $1,200 apiece for three of us. Well, nobody shows up. He's sitting there by himself. With 2 minutes to post, he says, you know what? The hell with it. I'm going. So he goes up there and bets his $3,600 on his own picks and hits the pick six for $3.6
million. Ah!
Well, after that, you know, it's almost like the old, you know, let it ride story. So he decided to buy a couple of horses, and he loves horse racing. He's been in it for a while now, and this is the first really good horse he's had, and that's Vijack. So, you know, he's got a little backstory about him. He's got the Big Brown connection. He drew the 20 hole, but there's a lot of things going on with him, and I'm thinking, you know what, history might repeat itself.
Wow. And so if Vijack has that race, the history falls into place. You and I both know this. It's about sometimes that second or third horse that you pick, too. So do you figure that Orb and Verrazano or one of the two may at least finish somewhere in the money?
I would say this. I surely wouldn't talk anybody off of Orb or Verrazano. You know, we might be talking, you know, coming up to the Belmont, we could easily be talking about Orb or Verrazano, either one being, you know, a horse that's maybe going for the Triple Crown. These are really nice horses, both of them. But, like I said, Verrazano has been in a situation where he's had really easy races where the pace was slow in front of him. He sat on the outside behind some long shots and kind of took over, turning for home, and never has had any adversity, never had a stick in his path. And Orb, the problem I have with Orb, I think, you know, oddly enough, he's owned by Ogden Phipps and Stuart Janney. I mean, these two guys are on the board of directors at the Jockey Club, you know. And they've been around for years. They've bred horses. They've been in the game for 40 years or more apiece. And the problem I have with Orb is he was really a pretty ordinary horse until he got to Gulfstream Park. And I've seen it happen in the past. You know, some horses hate Gulfstream. The surface down there is really quirky. And some horses hate it. And Orb happened to take to it. And I've seen it in the past where horses took to the track down there at Gulfstream Park and look like monsters. But then, you know, they go elsewhere and they're maybe not quite the same horse. So even though Orb did work really good at Churchill the other day, you know, work out for a half a mile is a whole lot different than running for a mile and a quarter. So, you know, for short prices on Orb and Verrazano, you know, my money's going elsewhere.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting stuff. Always fun to talk to you, TK. Thanks so much for lending some insight into this race, and enjoy the Kentucky Derby.
Hey, thanks, Katie.
All right, boy, that was good stuff, man. Those stories, he is the best. I am telling you. I'd be afraid now, Vijack. I'd be afraid to go in the opposite direction. I think the story is certainly intriguing. TK Lawless, you can check him out, too. Relentless Racing Stables. Boy, the knowledge there. Stay with us. Much more happening on this show next.
Government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel Body Armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.